everybody, and welcome to today's program. We're so happy you guys are here to join us. We literally have a jam-packed show. There's so much to go over today. So let's jump into some headlines, everything that you guys need to know. First up is Peter Navarro. Earlier today, he did turn himself into a federal prison in Miami, Florida. Unfortunately, that's because his pleas with the Supreme Court did fail, so he had to turn himself in. Peter Navarro, as many of you guys know, was a former member of the Trump administration, but he was really the key to all of the great policies that came down in the Trump administration. So this is a massive, massive loss for Americans all across the country. Peter Navarro spoke to the media prior to turning himself in. Let's take a listen.
And have you spoken to Donald Trump?
I am not nervous. I'm going to claim executive privilege on the Donald Trump conversations. I've had the greatest amount of support from Donald Trump and his team. And they can put me in prison. They can put you in prison. Make no mistake about that. And make no mistake about this. They are coming after Donald Trump with the same tactics, tools, and strategies they used to put me over there today. Okay? Think about this. Stripped of all defenses before a jury trial. That's going to happen to him. Democrats in all the jurisdictions he's in. Fannie Willis in Atlanta. The guy in Manhattan, Bragg. And then, of course, Jack Smith at the Department of Injustice, as we like to call it on my side of the fence. So I'm pissed. That's what I'm feeling right now. But I'm also afraid of only one thing. I'm afraid for this country, because this, what they're doing, should have a chilling effect on every American, regardless of their party. If they come for me, they can come for you.
Peter Navarro is absolutely right. If they're coming for him, they're coming for all of us. And that's just the reality we have to now deal with in this regime. It's heartbreaking to see a man who has done so much for this country be sent to prison for literally nothing. Sadly, also, guys, after he was speaking, Fox News cut him off to fact check him in real time. Sandra Smith decided to use those airways to trash Peter Navarro and then to discredit him for everything that you just heard him say there. The American people see through it, though. They stack the courts, of course, against him. All of his appeals processes were heard by Democrats. And the Supreme Court, well, it's just an absolute joke at this point. But Peter Navarro is still appealing his case. And sadly, he will have to continue that behind bars. Again, he's sentenced to 4 months in prison. And we all are praying for this man. We really, truly do hope that he is okay. Let's fast forward to just more egregious behavior coming from our federal courts. This time, it has to do with an illegal immigrant. And well, of course, guys, an Obama-appointed judge is now saying that illegals have the right to carry guns in our country. Now, these are the same people that want to take guns away from you, the American people. But when it comes to illegal aliens, they're allowed to have them. This all came down from Sharon Coleman. She is a U.S. district judge. She says that a federal law which blocks illegals from obtaining firearms violates the Second Amendment. She says that one of the defendants in that case, an individual who was charged in Chicago with carrying a semi-automatic pistol illegally, shouldn't have been charged because, well, it's his Second Amendment rights. Yes, apparently illegal aliens have constitutional rights, the rights that you don't have, of course, they have. It's egregious, but it's expected. And there's also another important article I wanted to bring your attention to, this one coming out from the Post-Millennial. It is very interesting because, well, it has to do with a Venezuelan Supreme Court judge who is literally warning Americans that violent criminals are leaving Venezuela and coming into the U.S. We've been talking about this for quite some time, but now you have the backing of a Venezuelan official telling you, yeah, these prisons where all these thugs and killers are coming out from, they're heading to the United States. And yeah, we're seeing it. We're seeing violence. We're seeing crime in all of our communities. And well, the Biden regime is just ignoring it, pretending like it's not happening. But we know it's happening, in fact. And well, if you're in LA or any California county at this point, you have seen this firsthand. Now, recently, the local news in LA has come clean about, and they won't say illegal migrants. They won't blame these illegals who are pouring into our, from our southern border. They are saying that there is a surge in foreign gangs burglarizing homes in LA. Let's take a listen.
Increase in burglaries from organized groups that are outside this country that are coming into the country, and they are targeting high-end residents, and we are addressing that specifically in a task force fashion through multi-agencies.
Lots of these break-ins have been recorded by security cameras in recent years. Detectives tell me many tourist burglars who've been arrested often entered the U.S. through a visa waiver program. Many were visiting from Chile and other South American countries. The LAPD says there have been more than 900 residential burglaries across the city since January. Some of those committed by the tourist burglars who often target luxury homes in the foothills. And some of them may be using new technology to interfere with home security. Just last week, the LAPD's Wilshire station sent out this alert that Wi-Fi jammers had been used to block camera and alarm signals during some recent break-ins.
Some sort of device by burglars that actually deaden, kill, or stop Wi-Fi from operating.
The immediate fix for these home alarm systems is to hardwire them. Where you plug those systems directly into your Ethernet in the wall and not use your Wi-Fi internally.
Choi says he's not sure if the tourist burglars have been using these devices, but the I-team has learned jammers and drones have been found by officers in Beverly Hills and other nearby cities. Last year, burglars were caught staking out homes in Orange County while wearing a camouflage suit like this, similar to ghillie suits worn by military snipers. And it's not just a California story. Police in Scottsdale, Arizona announced today the arrests of a trio of suspected residential burglars, all in the U.S. on the visa waiver program and suspected of being part of a wide-ranging criminal organization.
You see how they tell you that there are just the foreign gangs that are coming into L.A. and robbing innocent Americans, but they don't tell you how they're getting here. They're getting here because Joe Biden has opened our country up to literally anyone that wants to come in. As we're going to talk about later on in the show with Michael Yon, we literally have terrorists from Hezbollah pouring into our country. And as we covered yesterday, these illegals are using tunnels to sneak into the U.S. So you have to assume the worst of the worst are using tunnels because everybody else is just coming through the border. And so, yeah, crime will surge. And it's all thanks to this Biden regime. Now, I want to jump over to another story. It's a little graphic just to give you a heads up on this, but this one is extremely important because it comes from my home state of New York. We've spoken about it on the show. Criminal justice reform is what they called it. Well, it's ultimately a criminal bill of rights. And this story highlights just that. Four suspects were released without bail after they allegedly dumped dismembered body parts all across Long Island, New York. Now, the suspects in this case have been charged with several crimes, including hindering prosecutions, tampering with evidence, and concealing a human corpse. They're accused of dismembering the body and, like, literally, these two victims placing their body parts in various parks throughout Long Island. Now, they weren't charged yet with murder. The DA, Suffolk County DA, says it's going to take some time because he's waiting to get some results back before he can hit them with a murder charge. So he was only able to hit them with the dismemberment charge and the concealing of a human corpse charge. Which in New York, in case you're wondering why they are now free, is, all right, I'll say it with a straight face, is a non-violent offense. So New York, they think that, New York Democrats think that you could dismember a human body and it's not violent. Yeah. That's what's going on in New York right now. So that's the reason why those four suspects were released after being arrested, because a judge can't even intervene in this case. It's egregious, but like I told you before, New York has become a dump, a cesspool for criminals. And they allow people to just sit here and commit violent crimes, which they deem are nonviolent, and they release them. And just to put this in perspective, folks, this is criminal justice reform, which I refer to normally as a criminal bill of rights. Is something that was dumped on New Yorkers back in 2018. It was actually voted on when Governor Andrew Cuomo was in office. And what they did, and this is why you have to pay attention to strategy, and I always do, is they took that bill, that legislation, they shoved it into the state's budget. has nothing to do with the state's budget. They put it there anyway. They also stuck in congestion pricing, which charges Americans tolls for driving down busy New York City streets. And they also placed a plastic ban legislation inside the budget. So if you wanted to pass the budget, you had to pass all of that in one. So many New York Democrats didn't even have time to read the legislation. And so they just voted yes because they had to, as they'll tell you. But interesting enough, criminal justice reform actually included child pornography, possession of child pornography. They considered that to be nonviolent. They also considered manslaughter to be nonviolent. And the state has since made little tweaks because they've gotten a lot of bad PR over it. But the dismemberment of a human corpse is still a charge that doesn't require any bail, and a judge can't intervene. And so right now, the New York governor, Kathy Hochul, is blaming the DA for not charging these individuals with murder, but he's saying he doesn't have enough right now to charge them with murder. It's absurd. I don't know which side to really pin this on 100%. I'd say 50-50. They're both stupid. So don't take my word for it. But the more laughable part in all of this is one of the suspects, Amanda Wallace, who is a 40-year-old woman from Long Island. She's one of the four that was arrested. She was just recently rearrested just days after all of this going down. She allegedly was stealing from a CVS store, and she didn't really deny it. She told one of the media outlets down there, I forgot my money and really didn't feel like walking back over. And so that's her defense. So they're not really the smartest. And she did this crime allegedly with an ankle monitor on. So there's that. So she was released, caught again, released again. It's just a cycle of crime in New York. By no surprise, that's why you guys don't live there. So interesting enough, we will continue to follow that story. It's egregious. It's disgusting. But in New York, it's not violent to dismember a human corpse, which is heartbreaking. And those are all the headlines that you all should look into. We'll be right back with a jam-packed show coming up in just a few moments. There's a measles outbreak right now in Chicago, and instead of telling the American people the truth, the CDC is now using it as an excuse to push vaccines. Right now, the CDC is telling Americans that, yes, there is a measles outbreak, but you should just get vaccinated. They're not telling you the truth about it. The reality is the measles outbreak is because we have an open border, and it's because we are sending millions of these undocumented illegal aliens into cities like Chicago. And so at shelters that they're being housed at right now, they are spreading the virus. So far, there's over a dozen cases of measles in Chicago, and at least 10 of them come from one shelter. But the CDC says, just don't worry about the border. Just get vaccinated. And that's their solution. Now, it's important to also note that the city of Chicago is overwhelmed by all these illegals and is expected to start evicting them. And at least 2,000 of them could be on the streets of Chicago in April. It's a pretty alarming story, but we've been talking about this for quite some time, and it's because of the great work of Michael Yon. Michael Yon brought the tuberculosis story to my attention specifically, and we were sending children, HHS specifically, not me, they were sending children with TB all around the country, specifically 44 different states. We learned that last year. And well, in New York City, they've tried their hardest to suppress the fact that they were having a tuberculosis outbreak. So let's bring in the man who put this on my radar. Let's welcome in correspondent Michael Yon to the show. Michael, thank you for joining us. You know, you flagged the TB story for me and then on it's gone. Now we're seeing that there's measles outbreak in Chicago. Wisconsin's also preparing for this as well. Other states are looking into this because they've never actually seen a case of measles because it was considered to be an eradicated disease. But now we're seeing it in the United States. What do you make of all of this?
Yeah, the tuberculosis prediction was, you know, I was having dinner the other night with Ann Vandersteel and her husband, John, and we were talking about this specifically. And, you know, a lot of people have now been crediting me with being several years ahead in advance on some of these things. But in reality, it was kind of a joke. But as you know, we're in Florida now. I grew up in Florida, so I'm quite familiar with lightning, right? And so, and like very familiar. You know, I grew up in Winter Haven, Florida, which is like the one of the most lightning places in the world, actually, believe it or not. Even a lot more down here in South Florida. But the bottom line is predicting the tuberculosis would make its appearance here in large numbers was like predicting a loud noise after lightning, right? So, I mean, it's just like, okay, there's a big flash of light. I think there's going to be a loud noise. And there it is again, right? It's the same with tuberculosis. There are people with tuberculosis coming in. And so I was predicting that we would have tuberculosis. It was like kind of, I dropped the apple. I think it's going to hit the ground. So now tuberculosis, one thing you have to keep in mind, the last book I read on tuberculosis, you know, because I read a lot about pandemics long before this whatever this thing was, long before this one, I had already read about 40 books, and now I read about 20 more since this one. I read a lot on pandemic, and so I can talk your ear off about it. So, you know, the last book I read on tuberculosis was called The Remedy. And it was about, Robert Koch and Louis Pasteur and all these things. But anyway, bottom line is, one of the things you'll find about tuberculosis, it's one of the worst diseases in mankind, right? It's up there with yellow fever and smallpox and typhus, you know. Typhus is actually a curse word in the Netherlands. It's the equivalent of like the F word, right? And tuberculosis is up there with that. You know, and so what I'm getting to is, this is very serious. It's not like, we got some tuberculosis. No, this will change the entire country, right? It's that serious, right? You read history books. I read a heck of a lot of history, and you'll often hear passages constantly, you know, the king died of consumption, or the general died of consumption, or his daughter died of consumption. Consumption is tuberculosis, right? So tuberculosis is one of those diseases. Nobody knows how many people it's killed through space and time, but a working number to be directionally accurate would be like 1 billion, right? You know, it's not some little punk pandemic like Spanish flu, right? Spanish flu on the scale of things was just a breeze that went through, right? It went through very quickly, so it scared a lot of people and killed a lot of people, but nothing like tuberculosis or yellow fever and the big boys. So yeah, it's coming. It's coming in a big way. And you know what else is coming? Hezbollah, right? How many times have I said when you and I are on, Hezbollah are coming through the border, Chinese Communist Party. Now you see the Hezbollah guy that just got arrested. I've been warning that HIAS, you know, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, is helping members of Hezbollah get through. I want to say it very explicitly so their lawyers can hear it. HIAS is helping Hezbollah get into the United States. Now bring the lawsuits on. I know they'll be brutal. The Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society is helping Islamic terrorists get into the United States. Did I say it clear enough for the defamation lawsuit? Bring it on. Let's rumble, right? And we'll show you the videos. We'll show you everything. They won't sue me, or if they do, they're really crazy, but I want them to. Because I'll raise up enough money to fight back and prove it. The discovery will be wonderful, right? It'll be fabulous, as they would put it, right? And so the bottom line is, at San Vicente Camp down in Darien, where I'm at all the time, I just took Laura Loomer there with Ann Vandersteel, and I took Laura Loomer. We took Epoch Times. We took Brett Weinstein. We took Dr. Chris Martinson, Mara Macy. We took a lot. We took Masako Ganaha has been there 15 times probably. We took, she was with us, and Laura Loomer has been basically dropping artillery on HIAS ever since. And so the bottom line is, their office in Panama is like 40 yards away from the front gate of China Camp. 40 yards. They're literally, I eat lunch and breakfast with HIAS people down there all the time. I'm looking forward to the lawsuit. And I'll show you all the videos and all that stuff. You know, and the bottom line is, why is HIAS helping Hezbollah get to the United States? And they're going to come right here to South Florida. I'm in South Florida. You know, when I come to your neighborhood, I'm from Florida. I love Florida, but that's not why I'm here. If I'm in your neighborhood, you should probably be thinking about selling your house, right? Because I'm a war correspondent, right? And the United States is I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball, but I'm pretty good at throwing darts and I think Florida will likely end up being like Texas insofar as a major invasion route. It already has been. We've seen what's happened with Cuba. We see what's unfolding with Haiti right now, but Haiti's not the only one. You see Bahamas, the Chinese have a port closer to me right now where I'm sitting than Key West is. The Chinese port is closer to me now than Key West is. There's a huge Chinese port in the Bahamas. The Bahamas is becoming destabilized. Turks and Caicos is becoming destabilized. Haiti is destabilized, right? What's going to happen to Puerto Rico? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. War is brewing between Guyana and Venezuela, and that can be quite intense, the fallout from that. For instance, we could see the Panama Canal closed. I just saw Eric Pence talking about that today, actually. And it's something I've been talking about for a while. Venezuela literally has. Anyway, bottom line is you want to say something. But let me say one more thing about Hezbollah. Yeah. Hezbollah is flowing through Venezuela. Hezbollah is flowing through Venezuela because Iranians and others can land in Venezuela and get. Hezbollah has been in Venezuela for generations. They can. Iranians, as an example, can land in Venezuela today and get a passport and then travel through the Darien Gap. They do it every day. They do it every single day. Every day I'm down there, I see Iranians coming through. I see people coming through from the Middle East and whatnot as well. I mean, others, right? And so the Hezbollah, in 1994, there was a bombing in Panama. It killed about more than 20 people. 12 of them were Jews. I just got a note from one of their relatives this morning. In fact, he sent me this, the relative of three Jews that were killed in a bombing in 1994, sent me this photo of this guy today, right? He's like, and what he told me, he sent me an article from the Panamanian News that he lives in Panama, right? This guy that I'm talking about. So, because his relatives were killed in Panama. He's a Jewish guy, but he lives in Panama, as many do. And the article in Panama said that this guy that you have up on the screen passed through the Darien Gap. He passed through the Darien Gap. That means this guy was helped by Hayas. That guy on your screen was helped by the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and he says he wants to make a bomb. He's coming into America. Where is Hayas? Yeah. You know, Laura Loomer's been hitting him. Brett Weinstein's been hitting him. And now ADL's already been, you know, defaming Laura over it. I mean, you can't make up this stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's no surprise from the ADL. We all know what they're about these days. And I wanted to talk more about that because I think it's very, very interesting. We hear often these claims too. I'm always critical of the NGOs, the Catholic ones specifically, and the invasion that they're leading into our country. But the Hezbollah story has my ears perked up right now because this is very, very dangerous. So you cited that you had evidence. Is it just video evidence or is there anything that you could give us some detail on right now? And then also, are you going to post this to your Twitter page? So if people want to learn more, they can head over there. Like, how can people find out more from you directly about this issue?
Oh, I've been talking about Hayas for at least 3 years, but mostly I was hitting Catholic charities. Mostly I was hitting Catholic charities. Same. Yeah. And then the reason I lifted and shifted more effort on Hayas was I got a note recently. It wasn't long ago, maybe a couple months. I don't know. Doug McGregor, Colonel Doug McGregor sent me a note and he said, you know, Mayorkas was a board member on Hayas. And of course, Mayorkas was about to face the impeachment. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I was at that camp by Hayas. I was right there. And Mayorkas came to that camp. Now, keep in mind, Mayorkas is a refugee from Cuba. Both of his parents were Cuban Jews, right? So he was a board member on Hayas. I didn't know that until Doug McGregor just dropped me a note. He said, did you know that? And I'm like, are you serious? I checked it out. It was like laying on the surface. It was obvious. It's on their website, right? So Mayorkas was at that site right beside the Hayas office down in Darien, Panama. And he brought, you know, he promised $18 million more dollars to help people get through. And you look on Hayas.org and you'll see Hayas congratulating Mayorkas for moving over to Department of Homeland Security. Right. So he's the chief of Department of Homeland Security now. So that was when I lifted and shifted from Catholic charities to hitting Hayas more. Right. In the past, it only just mentioned Hayas now and then. But then when I realized, hey, they literally, sorry, one of my lights just died. Sorry. We'll do some of the, old obscura work here. The Hayas, they're huge. They're all over the place. I mean, they're not all over the world like IOM. IOM, the International Organization for Migration, is the main engine. They're a UN. They're UN IOM. The UN is the major engine of the invasion, right? And IOM is the main engine of moving physical bodies, right? Whereas UNHCR, some of the others do food and those sorts of things. But Hayas, I've got videos of people working for Hayas. Showing aliens on how to get through on the maps. We got photos of their maps up in camps. Yeah, you can see Laura Loomer. You know, she's a fireball, man. She went down to Darien with us. At first, I almost didn't want to take her because I was afraid she might be a princess or something. So I asked around about her, and Ann Vandersteel was like, "Oh, bring her," you know. And I asked if some people like, "No, don't ever take her." And I talked with her, and we took her down. I was like, Laura Loomer, man, she hit the jungle like a monkey. I mean, we're out 3 hours by dugout canoe up in the jungle at a place called Bajo Chiquito. Where's Laura? She's gone. So we had two drones in the air looking for her. And we find her up in a dugout canoe upstream with some Indians. She was with Masako Ganaha, you know, Masako. And so they were upstream together, and they were out with some Venezuelans filming them and taking baths in the water. I mean, so she like, don't worry about Laura being a princess. She will totally, like, we're driving down the road. She's like, stop the truck. There's a bus she wants to get on. She jumps up in the bus and makes video with the aliens. I mean, she was great. And so, but she also then confronted Hyas. She went to their main office, or not their main office. She went to their office beside San Vicente camp. And, you know, they're very, you ask Laura about her. You should ask her on the, let her show her video. It's epic. Yeah. You know, and they're being, you know, they're being, when Laura was asking, what does Hyas stand for? They're like, you know, Hyas, it means H-A, or, you know, H-I-A-S, you know, and they wouldn't say that it means Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. They wouldn't say it. They've been like trained or something because she kept confronting them, and they would not actually say what it actually means. They wouldn't say their names that they work for. They wear Hyas vest, right? So they're easy to identify. And they used to have a big sign on their building until Laura and Brett Weinstein and others started, you know, basically doing B-52 strikes on them. And now they took the sign down. Like, we were just there, you know, a few weeks ago. The sign's down. They were repainting their building. They were trying to make it look like, oh, there's nobody here but us. Nobody's. And, but, you know, they're probably going to stop wearing their vest, but we'll see the next time I'm down there.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this is so fascinating. Laura Loomer, she ran for Congress in my district, and I was so happy to support her and vote for her. She is one of the best journalists that we have right now. She's not afraid to go to these places and, you know, get a little dirty and go through this and confront people. And that is really important. Michael Yon,
not only is she not afraid to go, I mean, it gets to the point where you're like, it's time to go. You know, like, you know what I mean? I mean, seriously, there was times where we're like, oh, let's go, Laura. I mean, you get her down into the fight. She doesn't want to leave the pit. And you should ask her if you want to go down there with her. We'll facilitate it.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I think I'm a wimp next to her.
you can handle it. You can handle it.
I know. Like, I was like, we'll do it. We'll do it.
You'll be washing your hair out in the river with the Embera Indian women. Yeah, they do it too. You'll be drying it in the sun.
I love it. I love it. Michael, thank you so much. We appreciate all your work. Again, to our audience, you got to head over to michaelyon.com to keep following his work. He's great on Twitter as well. It's one of my favorite reads. So make sure you head on over there to stay in touch and to learn all of this. Because every time, Michael, you come on the show, I always learn so much from you. And I'm so grateful for that. So thank you for joining us, Michael. We appreciate your time.
And thank you for having me. Call Laura, ask her ask her side of the story, and then tell her you want to go to the Darien Gap, and you know I'm going to help you do it.
Okay. All right. I'll gather some guts and I'll do that. Thank you, Michael. All right.
See you in the jungle.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code to save 50% on your MyPillow 2.0. Not only that, for a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
MyPillow.com.
You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. Under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend Dr. Kirk Elliott because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure, and he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. Remember when Joe Biden blocked Americans from obtaining life-saving medications during the pandemic? Even the most prepared Americans weren't prepared for what they had in store for us. So if you've learned anything from 2020, it's that we all need to have a plan in place. And there's a way that you could do so. It's called the Medical Emergency Kit. It comes from the Wellness Company. It's one of the best things you can do for yourself and your family. And you won't find anything like this in stores or at the pharmacy. This prescription kit contains 8 life-saving medications, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, plus a guide that tells you how to use all of these tools. Every American should have at least one of these kits right now in their homes. Ordering your kit is simple and takes less than 2 minutes to do. So all you have to do is head over to twc.health/Brianna. That's twc.health/Brianna. And just for listening to this program today, you could get 10% off plus free shipping. Just make sure you use promo code Brianna when doing so. Once you've paid, complete the 2-minute intake form and your kit will be shipped right to your doorstep. There's no waiting for an expensive doctor's visit, which they'll likely refuse your request because, well, they don't give you these types of scripts. All 8 prescriptions will be at your door in approximately about 2 weeks. So this is an incredible offer, folks. Have exactly what you need when you need it for a low cost of a single doctor's visit. So again, folks, it's twc.health/Brianna, and make sure you use promo code Brianna to secure your 10% off plus free shipping. You don't want to wait on this one, guys. We are in an election year, so you have to jump on this offer right now. We don't know when the Biden regime, of course, will cut these great medications off. Yesterday, the Supreme Court heard arguments in the Missouri versus Joe Biden case. You guys might recall that case is in regards to the Biden regime censoring Americans on social media. Well, what was said during the hearing was jarring, especially when Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson spoke. And this is what she said.
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country. And you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective. And you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
That was Justice Jackson finding it difficult to understand that free speech means free speech and that the government should not be able to intervene just because they declared a pandemic. Most Americans heard that and their jaws hit the ground. This woman is extremely dangerous, as many of us have already told you. But, well, that was just all the evidence most Americans really needed to see to truly believe that we weren't being dramatic about it. Joining us to discuss what unfolded yesterday in the Supreme Court is the editor-in-chief of Uncover DC, Tracy Beans. Tracy, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it.
I am glad to be here. What crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was. And I was going through, I mean, you had the best information on your Twitter page yesterday and on uncoverdc.com yesterday. I was going through all of it. I couldn't believe what we were all seeing unfold. There were so many great points that you made. It wasn't just Justice Jackson who was outrageous. It was other things that took place during the hearing. So tell us, what were the most alarming things that you heard yesterday during the hearing?
Oh, the list goes on. I mean, there are so many things. Just to give some of your amazing viewers a little background, Missouri v. Biden is a case that the states of Missouri, Louisiana, and some private plaintiffs brought against the federal government, alleging that they were threatening and coercing social media companies to remove disfavored viewpoints from social media. So censorship, whether it's vaccines or COVID or the election or Afghanistan or abortion, didn't matter. It ran the gamut. And the judge in the district court issued a temporary injunction stopping the social media companies from, you know, corresponding with the government and the government's pressure on them to halt that censorship portion, not to halt national security threats or, you know, criminal things like pedophilia rings and things like that. You know, the things that they don't really pay attention to now anyway, and just kind of let flourish on platforms. Yeah. But there are carve outs in this injunction for those very things. They're carved out so that the government can still do what they need to do when it comes to crime and things like that. The government appealed the injunction to the Fifth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit affirmed that the injunction was proper. And initially they had taken out CISA. And I know that you've done work on this. CISA is the backbone, the cornerstone of the censorship apparatus for the government. They had taken CISA out. The states petitioned them to think about that again, please, because you're making a mistake. And the Fifth Circuit actually said, you're right, we did, and added them back in, which is unprecedented. And then the government said, we don't agree with you, Fifth Circuit, either. We're going to appeal this injunction to the SCOTUS, which is why you're seeing some people say this is Murthy v. Missouri instead of Missouri v. Biden, because the Missouri v. Biden case goes on despite whatever ruling could come down from SCOTUS on this. Separately at the district court, while this appeal was made by Murthy, the Surgeon General, because he's the first listed defendant, versus the states on the injunction. And the first thing that the government attorney said yesterday, Brianna, was, if this is allowed to stand, we're not going to be able to take care of national security threats or alert the government or alert the social media companies to URLs that, you know, have foreign origin and blah, blah. They lied. And when no one pushed back on that, I knew the fix was in, and that no one still has read this in its entirety, save the four justices who wrote a dissent to the stay of the injunction when they decided to take the case. So, yeah.
There's so much to unpack here, because, I mean, for everyone, we've been lightly covering it. We haven't gone into great length. Obviously, you've been doing a great job at all of this. You've been following this all the way through, which is amazing, because this is a really important case. But when we're sitting here watching all of this play out, I mean, they're trying to argue it. And even the corporate media, when I'm reading all the articles right now that are dropping online, it's as if this is like a conspiracy. They're acting like it's outrageous that we would even be talking about free speech and that the government should not be able to intervene. You pointed out a couple of valid points regarding all of this. During the arguments, what was the most outrageous claims that were made? Because I think the federal government is trying to, like you described, they're trying to manipulate as if it's something else. But this is really just a free speech case. There's nothing else to it. This is all about the government stepping in, bullying big tech to censor Americans that they just don't like. And I believe, I think it was an article that I read that you posted, actually, that there was over a quarter of a million social media accounts that were censored and flagged by the intel communities to be removed by big tech. So tell us a little bit about that.
So that's a lot to unpack. There were two big tangents that I took away from this thing. Number one, you know, Justice Alito was fantastic. He said, basically, you would never do this to the legacy media, to the press. You would never go to the New York Times and say, if you print that article, then we're going to come after you because it's unsafe. You just wouldn't do that. Now, you and I could discuss whether we think that's true or not, but I think they do it voluntarily. However, never once did the justices approach this the way I think it should be approached, which is, you know, user A, Nancy, you know, Jane Doe, whoever in Minnesota with 60 followers who had a vaccine injury and wants to talk to her Facebook followers about it. random person who's angry about how we withdrew from Afghanistan and wants to talk to their followers about that, or just even vent on social media in general. Someone who thinks the election was fraudulent in 2020 and just wants to say what they want to say. They approach the whole thing as though every individual citizen was the print media. And it was so strange to me that they didn't think of this as a town square where, like, you and I are out in the corner debating issues together. And then in this scenario, if it were equated, the government would have come up, grabbed me, tied my hands behind my back, slapped a piece of tape over my mouth, and, like, dragged me away. That's the equivalent of what they're doing here in the digital town square. But it was never looked at that way. No questions were framed around that. The other thing, the ridiculous hypotheticals in your opening, the clip that you played is actually based on a hypothetical that Ketanji Brown Jackson put forth. The hypothetical is this. Let's say there's a TikTok trend and kids are throwing themselves off of buildings and dying. Mm-hmm. You know, should then the government be able to force the social media platforms to censor any American who's sharing that in order to save the lives of the kids? So big daddy government stepping in to save us from ourselves. The hypothetical situations that they put forth were so absurd, none of which had anything to do with the substance of what we were looking at here. And the fact that there are 1,124 paragraphs after 20,000 pages of discovery of hard evidence, that's a fact pattern on how the social media companies were pressured to censor American speech.
Yeah.
None of it was referenced.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a reason for that, though, of course. And you mentioned, you know, Justice Jackson, she's notorious for these crazy hypotheticals, but she can't even define what a female is, which is absurd. She's quite laughable. I actually listened, you did a great interview the other day with the Louisiana Attorney General, Liz Murrell, and you discussed discovery. And this part really stood out to me, and I'll explain why on the other side. Let's take a listen to a little bit of that clip that you did. It was a great interview.
So it's over 20,000 pages. Some of those things are emails with White House officials threatening the people at Facebook if they don't take down certain posts, and how quickly why they weren't acting quickly enough to take down those posts, and really very threatening type emails. And, you know, that stuff came straight out of the White House. So this is really just the tip of the iceberg, but we had 20,000 pages of it.
And what she's talking about there is discovery. They've gotten not all discovery that they were requesting so far. They've gotten some of it. And what they're seeing is egregious. It's the federal government putting their foot on the necks of big tech and pressuring them to do a lot of takedowns. But, you know, you talk about strategy. And a lot of the times the federal government does these massive document dumps in discovery onto the other side last minute so that they can't read through everything. And so they miss a lot of the critical pieces of information that they need to see. What so far in this discovery phase have you seen that is just outrageous?
Oh man, there's been a lot. There are two things that stand out to me in this. And I got to tell you, the states have done such a fantastic job of crossing every T and dotting every I. I do legal a lot. Usually I'm like, well, they're missing this. Well, they're missing that. Not these guys. It's been fantastic. Okay, number one, CISA needs to control your thoughts. So they've declared them cognitive infrastructure, thereby granting them power over your thoughts. Wow. They're saying it's infrastructure, you know, as part of the United States government, cognitive infrastructure, the thoughts of Americans on social media and elsewhere. That was mind-blowing to me. The second thing was what they did to the vaccine injured, because they had created support groups and things on Facebook and elsewhere. And they targeted those support groups and groups in general that were discussing this for removal. And Facebook actually really fought back against this. I know it sounds crazy. Whenever I say this, people are like, they want to censor us too. You'd be surprised if you read through the filings and discovery in this case, they're not as censorship happy as you'd think. They didn't want people to feel like they were being censored because they argued that it would have the opposite effect. They also said, this isn't against our terms of service, what these people are saying. It's their own lived experience. It's true. And, you know, we don't have a responsibility to remove it. And it almost will cause like a Streisand effect. if we do. So that was two things. Like they made them remove those groups where these people that felt like they were on an island with no support and no help and nothing to kind of save them were coalescing with one another. They were banned. They were taken out of the groups were banned. How terrible is that of the government to do to people, especially when a lot of what was argued yesterday was that the government is the arbiter of truth. You know, the government was claiming that misinformation, malinformation, disinformation, those are the big things that we need to be able to control, which is why we need to exert this pressure. And I would argue that the government has been responsible for more harm than we ever could be, because they're advancing false narratives all over the place about every topic. So it was a dangerous tightrope to be walking, and nobody really pushed back against the government on that point. So,
yeah, you know, it's disturbing. I remember during the pandemic and the vaccine rollout, a lot of women were posting on social media, on Facebook and Instagram specifically, about having irregularities in their menstrual cycles. And they were then banned from social media. And now we know that there are infertility issues related to the vaccines. And I mean, think about all the women that could have been saved if we would have just allowed them to share their stories. It's just, it's heartbreaking. But, you know, you mentioned the pull that you know, the government has on these companies. Elon Musk actually did a really good space the other day, and he detailed after he took over Twitter, he found out that there was a back channel that the FBI was using to speak to Twitter. Let's take a listen to that.
You know, there was, and this is coming from multiple parts of the government, from the State Department, the FBI, Homeland Security, from really many parts of the government. It wasn't just one arm of the government. There was this FBI portal that auto-deleted all communications after 2 weeks. So we actually don't know what was said there. In fact, that does strike me as a FOIA violation, a Freedom of Information Act violation, because you shouldn't be able to auto-delete things after 2 weeks. There's a little-known agency in the State Department called the Global Engagement Center, which most people have never heard of, but they might have been the single worst offender because they demanded the suspension of at one point over 250,000 accounts, which I think all Twitter largely complied with. But their suspension demands were so broad that they accidentally demanded a suspension of a journalist on CNN and an elected Canadian politician.
Now I've seen those emails firsthand, and I'm sure you have too, Tracy, where they were demanding Twitter to remove some of these accounts, and it was absurd, but it's expected of this new regime. I mean, this is what they do. They don't like the fact that people speak freely. And, you know, I was just talking about TikTok and everyone jumping on board with this TikTok ban, but ultimately what's going to happen here is going to force the sale of TikTok to potentially an American company. And then the Intel community could do the same thing to them because they can't do it right now because this, you know, the CCP owns TikTok right now. So do you think this is a gray area? And how do you feel about the TikTok ban too? Because we haven't even spoken about that either yet.
Yeah, the TikTok ban, I'm not a fan because I'm a libertarian and I don't feel the government should be involved in private business literally at all ever. And not only that, but I really think the TikTok ban is actually an attack on Elon Musk more it is an attack on TikTok. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got some Saudi ownership. Biden declared he was going to have the SEC look into everything. I think it's more an attack on him because he's allowing free speech and he's uncovered what you said and showed everybody about it. But the interesting thing about what he said, too, is, you know, he said that they even banned a CNN journalist and a politician from Canada, right? Something crazy that we found in this case. The government, Rob Flaherty from the White House, was like begging and demanding Instagram do more with their algorithm to limit vaccine hesitant content, what they deem to be. So Meta goes and they tinker with their algorithm to make it, you know, real tight so that anybody talking about anything vaccine related that could be construed as being hesitant is downranked and nobody sees it and whatever. And like all of a sudden these emails start trickling in from Rob Flaherty to his contact over at Meta. Hey, the president's seeing, you know, a downtrend in engagement. The president's seeing that this is happening weeks. He's like, we'll look into it. The guy from Meta, they come back. Okay, we fixed it. And Rob Flaherty like demands to know what happened. Why did this happen? How could this happen? How could I have not, you know, how could we not have reach like we need to have it? Well, the algorithm that they changed got rid of all vaccine related content, not just anti-vaccine related content. So it swept up Biden in the actual algorithm that Biden demanded to censor other people. And when he was censored, he lost his mind. His staff lost their minds, but it was okay when Americans were censored. So it was just like the perfect irony, the perfect kind of like see what it feels like for the White House, because what they demanded that Instagram do actually hurt them in the long run.
Well, you hate to see it, but it's a taste of their own medicine. I mean, they need to feel this burn. I mean, what happened during the pandemic, I have to say, is one of the most heartbreaking things that has ever happened in this country, just because so many people were silenced and they had legitimate claims to bring forward of just their own life experiences, what they went through. And so we sat there and we suppressed it. So many good Twitter accounts were yanked. They were just delivering the facts. I mean, there are people who are literally going through, I think it was like 55,000 pages of data that came out from Pfizer, and they combed through it. Like people like Naomi Wolf, they were censored, they were shunned from society. I mean, literally, these people didn't want anything to do with them. They completely canceled them, and there was no reason for it. They all had the facts to back up their arguments. And now, sadly, so many Americans who were fooled are really upset because they didn't have this information at their disposal. I think it's disturbing, but this regime is just out of control. So we're hoping that the Supreme Court weighs on the side of good and not the side of evil at this point, because that's really what we're battling here. Tracy, thank you so much for everything that you've been doing. You're doing great work at uncoverdc.com. Again, folks, head over there, check it out. You go into great detail about all of this. So it's very, very important. If you guys wanted to go follow it, head over there right now. It's uncoverdc.com. Tracy, thank you again for everything. We appreciate it. And if you enjoyed that interview, make sure you hit that subscribe button right now. And if you're listening on any of the podcasting platforms like iTunes or Spotify, or watching on Rumble or YouTube, make sure you guys leave us some comments. We love hearing your feedback. So make sure you drop it in. And if you want to stay in touch with me and all of my exclusive stories, head over to BriannaMorello.com. That's where you could sign up for my Substack. It is completely free. So feel free to do so. Just type in your email and we will not spam you to death, of course. We'll only make sure we're sending you the most important stories as well. And if you'd like to, you could also place a donation. You could become a monthly donor or just a one-time donor to the show. We greatly appreciate anything you'd like to throw our way. Once again, guys, it is greatly appreciated. We'll be right back with more of the Brianna Morello Show.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products, taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at RedemptionShield.com and get grounded and shielded. RedemptionShield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
There appears to be a rivalry between Joe Biden and the former president of the United States, Barack Obama. And well, yesterday really didn't clear those rumors up. Take a look at this video. This is Barack Obama moments after he visited the prime minister in the UK. He did it as a friendly visit, they said. But obviously, why is the former president meeting with the current prime minister of the UK? It's very, very bizarre. But according to Axios, there seems to be some drama between Biden and Obama. In their latest report, they really just go on as saying that people who are formerly working for Barack Obama, but now in the Biden administration, they just don't respect Joe Biden, and it has him fired up these days. They also go into talking about how it's a, you know, complex relationship. They say that after the Afghan withdrawal, you know, Biden's way of dealing with Israel and some issues regarding Congress, that the pair have had plenty of disagreements and they aren't as close as they pretend to be. So there's so much to unpack here. So let's bring in somebody who's ready to dive into this. Let's bring in JD Rucker. He is the co-founder of BriannaMeat.com. JD, thank you for jumping on with us. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, it looks like Axios says that, yes, it's a complex relationship. And although Obama often praises Biden publicly, behind the scenes, he might not want Joe Biden to run for re-election, and he's looking to make sure potentially that doesn't happen. Are you surprised by any of this?
No. Look, Joe, the relationship between Joe and Barack has always been bad, even when they were working together. Okay. Long before they were working together. Then when they were in the White House together, it wasn't a good relationship. We'll never know for sure, but you've got a guy who you can say all the bad things you want about Barack Obama. And I say plenty of bad things about Barack Obama all the time, but the dude is smart. He really is legitimately intelligent. Then you can look at Joe Biden. You can say all the things you want to say about him, but the dude is not smart. He wasn't smart when he was in his 30s and 40s. Now that he's in like his 140s, he's definitely not smart. He's lost, like, his IQ went from its peak at around 85 to now. I mean, he's struggling to get into double digits. And so of course there's going to be conflict, you know, and of course there's going to be a little bit of, at least a little, maybe a lot of shadow government going on, to where you've got Barack Obama, who I believe is at the very least a proxy and possibly even a ranking member, so to speak, of the globalist elite cabal. He's pulling strings within the White House. He's, in many ways, I would say that he is in more control of what happens in the United States than even Joe Biden himself.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with that too. And, you know, last week we played a clip of Joe Biden. His campaign push is to pretend like he has a stutter, and he used a child in the video to demonstrate that this is a disability. But we all know it's mental decay is what's going on right now with Joe. And you have to assume, based on even how, you know, Barack Obama's wife, Michelle Obama, has come out there and said that she's fearful of the future for this country. And you have to kind of figure that she's hinting at Joe Biden and running for re-election. Do you think that they're going to try to stop him from being on the ballot in November?
It depends. Okay. So there's good and there's bad, as far as if you look at the spawns of Satan, if you look at the truly evil people of the world who are influencing our nation, in many ways controlling it, there are good and bad aspects of Joe Biden. The good part, obviously, is that there's never probably in the history of the United States of America been anyone in power who was as compromised. It's not a question of whether or not he's controlled. It's a question of who's controlling him at any given moment. I mean, he's got the Chinese Communist Party has dirt on him. Ukraine's got dirt on him. The Obamas have dirt on him. You've got probably mafia, you got criminals, cartels, you've got all of these different organizations, different groups, different individuals who have dirt on him. So he's got to try to shuffle that. So they know they can absolutely positively control him. If they believe that they can, number one, steal the election in November again and keep him in office and still control him, then they'll do it. Especially if they think that after the election, they'll be able to replace Kamala Harris, even though she's nearly as compromised as he is. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And here's the big but, if they have greater plans, okay, if they have like something that perhaps takes more than just the status quo of Dementia Joe in the White House, then they will try to replace him. So it comes down to this, folks, and this is, you write it down. What's the date? It's the 19th of March, okay, 2024. J.D. Rucker goes on the Brianna Morello show and announces basically the triggering factor of what's going to happen. If they get rid of Joe, that's bad news, because mm-hmm. that means that the next 4 years they have plans, and those plans are going to be very bad for the United States of America. If they keep Joe, then that's good news, because that means, number one, either they won't be able to steal the election from President Trump, or number two, if they do, then at least they're going to go with more of a status quo evil plan rather than the culmination. Either way, look, I think we're all done by 2030 anyway. So just do what you can. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not a doomsdayer. You know, no. I fight, but
But yeah, we prepare.
It does look bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, I have to say this election is going to be the most important election we've ever had in this country. And it's because it's good versus evil. And that's what ultimately mm-hmm. we have going on right now. And so there's so much on this ballot box this November. We'll see how I think the American people are fed up. And I honestly think it's going to be a bloodbath, as they all say, for Joe Biden, though. Unfortunately, I don't think he is going to win, but they are going to try their hardest to steal this election. And we all need to be prepared for that. But speaking of preparation, this is why we love having you on. You have a great, great company that we want to tell our audience about. It's BriannaMeat.com. Obviously, I don't make the meat myself. Just we try to help you all get to the website a little bit easier. So tell us a little bit about your company, and then we're going to tell them all why now is the time to head over to your website and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All of the cows. So you can see on the screen, if you're watching the screen, you can see on the screen, we've got bags. Each one of those bags is full of beef that Brianna has personally, she picked out the cows, she named them, she slaughtered them herself, she cooked them, she freeze dried them, and she put them in those bags or something to that effect. That's the story that we're sticking with. In reality though, this is high quality meat. This is all Texas beef. It's ribeye, New York strip. It's tenderloin. It's sirloin. It's not beef crumbles. This is mm-hmm. long-term storage food with a 25-year shelf life at a reasonable price with an amazing discount. So if people go to BriannaMeat.com right now and they use promo code BRE25, BRE25, they will get 25% off. But wait, there's more. If they want to subscribe and basically have beef shipped to their house every month, then they save an additional 10% from there. And on top of all that, we'll be donating 10% of our proceeds to a veterans charity that's currently being vetted out by Jason Storm Nelson, a 100% combat disabled veteran who also happens to be my co-founder over at BriannaMeat.com. And he's going to pick out a good one. He's pick out a winner, and we're going to send them hopefully lots of money. It really depends upon if your audience goes there and buys a bunch yet or not.
I love that. I love that. That's what's so important about this. So this is the best deal that we've had so far for this website. I mean, I'm loving it now. So BriannaMeat.com, if you use the promo code BRE25, you're going to secure up to 25% off. It's 25% off right off the bat. Then if you subscribe, you get 10% off. Then also for just listening today, I'm trying to go through all the everything. It's a long list. You also get free shipping. That's just for listening today. You guys are going to be kind enough to throw that in there. And then plus you also get 10% of your purchase goes towards a veteran cause, which we love, love, love. And this is amazing. So it's really a great deal. And the best part about this, guys, let's say President Trump does win in November, which I think he will. You got 4 years,
Lord willing,
to enjoy that. But then afterwards, we don't know what's going to happen, but you know what's going to be there for you? This product will be there for you, this prepper beef, because it lasts up to 25 years, which is huge, 25 years. I mean, you have competitors, they're about 15 years in the lifespan. No one's coming anywhere near you guys. Plus, it's actual cuts of beef, which I haven't seen that yet. Like you mentioned before, it's the cruddier cuts you're getting. You're not getting the top quality ones with this brand, which right. is very important. So again, guys, it's Brie25. You got to head over there. This is not going to last forever. It's temporary. Once they sell out, that's when the promo code disappears.
Let me explain that real quick. Do you have another 45 yeah, seconds? I'll try to keep it to under 48 seconds.
Okay.
So somebody told me, they said, you know, because they called and they said, you know, why are you guys doing this? And why is it really short term? Are you guys like, just, is this just some sales scam? I'm like, no, for reals. We're doing this limited time special. Because we have, you can see, if you're watching on the screen, you see we've got the beige bags, right? We've got mm-hmm. the brown, beige, whatever they are. Our original bags were green, okay? They have the wrong, our old company name on them. It was like, you know, we want to get rid of them. Unfortunately, these are high quality, thick Mylar bags. So it's not like we could just toss them. That would be a waste. So mm-hmm. I've got like 10,000 of these bags, right? And we've got, so we said, let's go ahead and go through our old bags. And once we sell out of those, then we'll go back to a regular price. And I mean, that's legit. We really will. Once we get rid of the old bags and we're just dealing with the new bags, we're going back to the regular price. And this person told me, you know what? I want to get a lot of these. I'm like, really? Why? She's like, 'cause I want the old bags. She's like, they're vintage. Okay? And these are going to be collector's items here in the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And I'm like, it'll be the only collector's item that you can actually eat that might save your family's life. She's like, I love it. I love it. Get me 10. It's like, well, we happen to have a 10 pack, so let's do that. True story.
No, that's amazing.
That's 48 seconds?
That was exactly to the T. What's so amazing about all of this is that, listen, these discounts won't stick around forever. There's also going to be inflation that's going to happen soon. So really the best time to purchase is now and to stock up. And, you know, I hear feedback from our audience. We have some audience members who are just buying in bulk as much as they can right now. And then we have some that are slowly doing the purchases, which is great because your subscription service allows them to do so. So they can subscribe to whatever they could afford right now. You get the 25% off, you get the 10% off and the free shipping. And you're doing it at your own pace, which is so, so important. So again, guys, you got to head over to Breanna, BREANNAMeat.com. Use promo code BRE25, that's BRE25, to secure up to 25% off, 10% off if you subscribe, free shipping. And then they're also donating proceeds to a veteran cause. And although the bags are the older version of their bags, the product is all fresh and brand new. Like it's not just sitting around. So you're getting the best quality meat. So again, guys, head over to BreannaMeat.com right now. Take advantage of this offer because once it's gone forever. JD, thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. For quite some time now, Dr. Kirk Elliott has been warning you guys about the potential bank failures that are on the horizon. Well, he's not alone. Big bank CEOs are also warning Americans about this. One is even projecting that there's about to be 500 bank failures this year. And the FDIC doesn't even have all of the funds to back the money that you're depositing at the bank. So let's bring in Dr. Kirk Elliott to discuss. Dr. Kirk, thank you so much for jumping on with us today. We greatly appreciate it. You called it. I know you've been talking about this for quite some time now, but it seems like finally the mainstream media is starting to catch on to the potential bank failures that are on the horizon. So tell us, what are we hearing now?
So this goes way back, and I have been sounding the alarm for a while. I was just talking to David and Stacey White at Flyover Conservatives, and we did a show on their network back in January of 2023 talking about how FDIC only had 1.7% of all bank deposits insured. And it's like, oh my word, this is terrible. And then what happened in March and April? Silicon Valley, Signature Bank, Credit Suisse, First Republic, Silvergate Bank, they all went into FDIC receivership, right? So they went under. Well, what happened between then, a year ago and today? All those bank failures that happened took that FDIC insurance amount from 1.7% of assets to 0.74%. They used up more than half of their assets with five bank failures, right? So here's where it gets a little bit more squirrely. And why didn't we have more bank failures then? Well, they instituted a program called the Federal or the Bank Temp Funding Program, the BTFP, which was emergency funding for failing banks. So it was like this lifeline to these banks of just stimulus money. And that's why we didn't have more bank failures. But that program, Breanna, stopped. It sunset. It expired on March 11th. So a week ago, that's gone. So the next bank that goes into like financial trouble, right, they're not going to get emergency funding. So therefore, they're going to fail and FDIC it would kick in. But FDIC hardly has any money, right? So we have to realize all of this happened with five big bank failures or regional bank failures. There's a CEO of a large national real estate company that actually came out on Yahoo Finance. Mm-hmm. And this guy, what do they do when you're developing subdivisions and commercial real estate? They're getting bank loans all the time. So he said, we're going to see 500 or more banks fail over the next 2 years. 500, not five. With five, it took half of FDIC's available assets. I mean, what if this guy is the biggest dunce on the planet and he's so far wrong that only 10 banks fail? Not 500, 10, which is still, look what happened with five banks failing. So I don't think that he's wrong. I think we're going to see this to me is the biggest financial news story of 2024 is we're going to see a second round of bank failures, which is going to be bigger and badder and worse than the first one. I mean, why do I think that? You look at what's happening in the banking world, and in the last quarter, banks' profits fell by 44% in just the last quarter. See, there's no profitability there. There's delinquencies that are on the rise, which means late payments. After a series of delinquencies, people go into default. Either they cancel the loan at the bank or they just simply file for bankruptcy. This is the ugly world financially that we're living in as a function of bad economic policy coming out of the White House because the BRICS nations stripping away the demand for the U.S. dollar, which forces us to print because there's no demand for our currency anymore. I mean, literally, Brianna, this is bad. And I think when you look at your brain, my brain, everybody's brain, it's like banks should be the safest thing in the world. You know, perception wise, our money in the bank, it's out of the markets. So we think, right? It's like, it's just safe. It's just like, well, this money just sitting in the bank, I'm saving for a rainy day. What do banks invest in? When you put money in the bank, what do they do with it? It's not just a big wad of hundreds sitting in the bank vault, just sitting there doing nothing. No, they invested into stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate companies. The same thing you and I would invest in as individuals, they just do it on a larger scale because they're a bank. So as those things continue to fail for us, it's failing for banks. And because of Biden's ridiculously awful, horrible economic plan for America, you've got reducing wages, rising unemployment, prices going up because they're printing money like there's no tomorrow. You raise interest rates to slow down that inflation. That's a recipe for disaster. And so this is why I think the acceleration of bank failures is going to happen. So as I look at that and think, okay, what can we do? Oh, this article you just put on the screen, that's a brilliant one. See, it's not just the CEO of a real estate company that's saying banks are going to fail. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, says there's going to be bank failures. Wait a second. Isn't he in charge of the banks?
Yeah.
And he's the thing that he's in charge of is going to fail. Dude, they stink. They stink at their job, but they're at this point where there is no other outcome. When you use other people's money and that money dries up, you're either forced to print your way out of it or just call it quits and say, well, there's no more. See, why in the world, Brianna, would a government in an election year, knowing that banks are the safe haven thing, and if there's a run on the banks, if people lose confidence in the banks, they lose confidence in the whole financial system. So why would they stop that emergency funding? Why? Either A, they simply don't have the money. They know that they can't continue printing because they're going to have to raise interest rates and people are already tapped out. Or B, I know this is going to sound conspiratorial, but I don't intend it to be. It's just reality. They want it to fail. Yeah. I think they might want the banking system to fail because they have a grand plan to be the saviors of all humanity financially and that central bank digital currency. And that's what they want to institute. But you know, you're smart. Would you ever say, oh, the central bank digital currency thing, this is sweet. I like this plan because, you know, they have the ability to cut you off from buying or selling. If your ideology doesn't match up with theirs, it's spyware on the bank account. They actually control all of our assets instead of us. We gave them ownership. Who in their right mind would say that's a good idea? Nobody. I don't care if you're on the left or on the right. It's a horrible idea that not anybody is going to like. But if the banking system fails and people can't pay their rent, they can't feed their kids, they can't pay their mortgage, they can't pay their utilities, they can't live life. As humans, it's human nature, we will give up our freedoms in exchange for perceived security and peace. So if you want to usher in something that's so horrible and it's all about people control, central bank digital currency will not fix a broken system. It's all about people control. You create a crisis so people will want what you have. But so that's my conspiracy brain thinking, right? So So either that's prediction. The outcome, or the other outcome is simply that they run out of money. The end result is the same. It doesn't matter whether either one of those options, the end result is the same, and that is banks are running out of money, and we are about to see bank failures, which I think is the biggest financial story of this year. So what's the solution? Get your money out of the banks. If you have excess money in the banks, I would get it out, but then what? Then I would allocate it into something that's out of that system, something that's real, something that's never gone to zero, which is a tangible asset. Things never go to zero, Brianna. Yeah. Groceries don't, bicycles don't, cars don't, houses don't. Nothing goes to zero. If it's a thing, it always has an intrinsic value. Gold and silver are things. They will never go to zero. It's your safe haven in a time like this.
Yeah. And I think that's really important. We're constantly talking about silver and how silver is on the rise. The cost of it's on the rise, which is a good thing for people at home right now because they could buy in right now when it's not at its highs. And I think that's really critical here. So your solution are these assets, these tangible assets. Let's talk a little bit about precious metals. That's often what we talk about. There's a lot of news out there right now where people are bragging about silver. So talk to us about that.
Well, silver surpassed $27 in Asia. It surpassed $25 an ounce here. So here's the thing. Silver is kind of sideways action for the last year. It's gone up and it's gone down. I mean, it's still going up. It's up tremendously over the last year, but nothing like what we're going to see. So when it creeped above $25, and you see on the chart, it's right there right now. It's at $24.96. But at that $25 threshold, it actually peaked its head above a 15-year moving average in the silver price. Mm-hmm. So that ceiling, which has been resistance, is now our floor. So the resistance moving forward is gone. This is, I mean, look at that chart right there that you have on the screen. See that last little blip up? It peaked above a 15-year moving average. There's no resistance above that. This is exciting for anybody who's allocated into silver, who's thinking about going into silver. The time has never been better because of where we are with a 15-year moving average being surpassed, and there's no longer an anchor weighing on the price of silver. It's now like a balloon pulling it up.
Yeah. I think it's really important. And I know our audience at home probably has some questions regarding becoming an investor in silver and gold. And you're the guy that I go to for advice. So we've made it easier for them. If they head over to briannagold.com, there's a little form that they could fill out with their basic contact information. And all they have to do is enter in that information. Then somebody from your team will actually reach out to them, a scheduler, to make an appointment. And then they can make that appointment and have a discussion with you or a member of your team regarding everything that they have questions wise and how they could, you know, secure their family's future. Because right now is the time to do this before it's too late. You don't want to be on the outs when these banks are failing, looking to somehow save what you do have if they didn't blow it for you already. So again, now is the time to do so. So again, folks, all you have to do is head over to briannagold.com. We've made it as simple as possible. That's BREANNAGold.com. Fill out the form. I've done it myself. Somebody from your team, Dr. Kirk Elliott's team, is going to give you a call, schedule an appointment, and then you meet with somebody else from his team to go over your financial goals. It's really important, Dr. Kirk, that people do this now because, gosh, if you wait any longer, it could really be a bad situation. Do you have anything else that you'd recommend right now for our audience besides just that? I think that's probably the most important thing, though, is to get on that phone call with you guys or a member of your team to kind of plan everything out.
It is. And it's a free consultation. I mean, there's no risk in a call, because what we want to do is ask you what your dreams are, what your fears are, what your goals are, what your income needs are, what you want to accomplish. Every one of us, I don't care how young or old you are, you want to accomplish one thing, that your money outlives you, right? The only way that you can do that is to outpace inflation with your investments, be in the right place at the right time, grow and thrive. So give us a call and we'll map out a strategy for success moving forward using tangible assets like physical silver right now to take advantage of this, not just this price move, but the fundamental realities of the world that we're living in of the unsustainable debt, the inflationary pressures, the political chaos, this geopolitical conflict, everything that's ravaging the world, that's bad news, is actually good news for tangible assets like gold and silver. So we just can take advantage of that and have a smile on our face.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone at home probably wants a sense of relief as well. So that's why this is so important. So everyone head over to briannagold.com right now, fill out that form. Like I mentioned, somebody from his scheduling team will reach out, find a good time for you and his team to speak. And then you guys can go over all your financial goals. It's really important to do this now. If you keep tossing it off and waiting, you might be in a really bad situation. So again, it's briannagold.com. Dr. Kirk Elliott, we always love talking to you. So thank you for joining us. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.